Hello and welcome to the Animal Health Employment Insider, brought to you by The Vet Recruiter. In this podcast, search consultant Stacy Purcell, founder and CEO of The Vet Recruiter, provides insight and practical advice for both companies and job seekers in the animal health industry and veterinary profession. The Vet Recruiter's mission is to help animal health and veterinary organizations acquire top talent while helping professionals attain career-enhancing opportunities that increase their quality of life. In today's podcast, we'll be talking about what job seekers should not do when working with a search consultant or recruiter. Welcome, Stacy, and thank you for joining us.
Hello, Sharita. I'm glad to be here today.
Well, in our last podcast, we tackled the topic of what employers or hiring managers should not do when working with an animal health or veterinary recruiter. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss the same topic, but from the job seeker side of the equation.
That's right. And once again, the reason is simple. Ultimately, in order to be successful and maximize your efforts, you must know both what to do and what not to do in certain situations. Now, we've talked before on this podcast about what job seekers and candidates should do in working with the recruiter. We've also touched briefly on what they should not do, but we're devoting an entire podcast to this topic today. Since we explored the topic in full from the employer side, we should also explore it in full on the candidate and the job seeker side as well.
Absolutely. That makes sense. So can you talk about why it's so important for the job seekers to do the right thing when they're working with a recruiter? You know, there may be some people in the audience who think, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
An animal health and veterinary recruiter can be a valuable resource for a job seeker in the animal health or veterinary profession. They have access to information that job seekers and candidates do not have access to, and that can include great employment opportunities. Oftentimes, the only way that job seekers know about these opportunities is because recruiters contact them to let them know about them. The fact of the matter is that if a recruiter is working with a job seeker or a professional and that job seeker handles the relationship the wrong way, then there's a good chance the recruiter won't want to work with that individual again in the future.
And if that happens, then the job seeker will no longer have access to the information that that recruiter has, including the information about great employment opportunities.
Exactly. That's right. Now, job seekers and candidates have to remember that when a recruiter presents them to their client, they are taking a risk. They are risking their reputation and essentially their livelihood by representing you. They're basically telling their client, this person represents the work that I do as a search consultant. So if you do something that reflects poorly on yourself or on them, then they're not going to want to represent you or present you anymore.
That certainly makes sense. So in essence, the only person that the job seeker or candidate is hurting when they engage in negative behavior is themselves.
Yes, that is the reality of the situation. And unfortunately, I have witnessed candidates and professionals engage in all types of negative behavior through the years.
I bet you have. Can you share, you know, some of that with us now?
Absolutely. The first thing is, don't think that you're a candidate for every position that the recruiter has. Right off the bat, that's not possible. And second, don't try to manipulate your background so that it looks like you're a fit for a specific job. Recruiters literally interview thousands of people a year, and they'll know whether you're a fit and whether you're qualified for the open position. While it's true that you might be very motivated to find a new job, thinking that you're a fit for every position on a recruiter's desk is not the right way to go about it. You must be patient and you must approach the situation in the right way.
Now, what is something else that candidates should not do when they're working with an animal health recruiter or a veterinary recruiter?
Well, this next one is something you should not do whether you're working with a recruiter or not. You should not agree to an interview if your motivation for doing so is something other than landing the job itself.
What do you mean by that?
Unfortunately, there are candidates who have been known to accept an interview request just so they can get a free trip to a city or take a mini vacation.
Really? I mean, this has actually happened before?
Unfortunately, yes. On more than one occasion, I once had a candidate who interviewed with a company only because he wanted to take his wife on a trip to New York City, and he admitted to me after the interview process was over that that's why he went on the interview. And as you can imagine, there was no way I was going to represent this person again and present him with another employment opportunity. He wasted my time, and he also wasted my client's time. In another instance, a candidate flew to another city for an interview. He interviewed with our client, and then he flew back to his hometown. When he got back into his town, he and his wife, and he got off the airplane about 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and that evening around 7 p.m., he took his wife to a fancy restaurant and ordered a nice meal with an expensive bottle of wine, and then he put that on his expense report and attempted to get our client to pay for it, claiming that it was part of the interview trip. As a job candidate, these are things that you just simply cannot do. It makes you look bad, and it also makes the recruiter who is representing you look bad too.
And these candidates, they're only hurting themselves in the long run with this type of behavior.
That's right, they are. And I'm sure you've heard the phrase burning bridges before, and that's exactly what this type of behavior does. The animal health industry and the veterinary profession are small niches, so doing things like this can have ramifications and consequences in the future that are not good. Candidates who engage in this behavior are limiting their career opportunities at the very least.
I see. So what else should candidates not do?
I know I've mentioned this before in a previous podcast, but don't try to go around the recruiter and contact the employer yourself. This can happen at any time during the process. It could be at the beginning or in the middle. Sometimes candidates become over anxious and they start thinking to themselves, if I could only speak directly with the hiring manager, I could convince them of what a great candidate I am. So what they may do is contact the hiring manager directly without telling the recruiter what they're doing, and I've seen it in badly. And this is like what I discussed in a previous podcast about the hiring manager discussing critical topics with the candidate without the recruiter's knowledge. If the recruiter is part of the process from the beginning, they should always be a part of the process. Job seekers must remember that organizations rely upon the judgment of the search consultants and recruiters that they hire. If you go around the recruiter and contact the hiring manager yourself, you will likely no longer be considered for the position. I've had multiple cases of this happening. And once again, most recruiters would not be motivated to work with these individuals or represent them in the future when they do that.
You know, I certainly understand that line of thinking. And as you said, these candidates, in effect, they're representing your organization. And that's just not the type of behavior you would want to see. You know, so what else is on your list of things that job seekers, you know, should not do when they're working with an animal health recruiter or a veterinary recruiter?
Our next item is don't be a stalker candidate. And this goes along with the one we just discussed. You don't want to circumvent the recruiter during the process, but you also don't want to hound or stalk the recruiter either. Showing persistence can be a good thing, and persistence is often needed during the search for a position, but there is a fine line between persistence and annoyance. Recruiters talk with countless people every day. The hiring process is full of steps and stages. If a recruiter does not return your calls or your emails immediately, then there is probably a good reason, and that reason is most likely because they're in the middle of something or because your background and experience is not suited for one of the firm's current searches. If you're working with a recruiter, then you must have patience. Even though they might not have an opportunity for you today, they could present your dream job to you tomorrow. That's how things can operate in the employment marketplace. I've seen it time and time again.
Now, Stacey, we have time for one more. So what would you say is the final thing, you know, that a job seeker should not do when they're working with a recruiter?
Well, this final item is more like a two for one. If a candidate does not get a job for whatever reason, that candidate should not write a nasty note to the recruiter. They should also not write a nasty note to the hiring manager.
This has happened before?
Unfortunately, yes, it has happened, and both of those instances has happened. And like the other things we've discussed today, they've happened more than once. In fact, I once had a candidate write a note to me saying that the hiring manager was stupid for not hearing them, for not hiring them. No good can come from a letter like that. As a recruiter, I would be less inclined to work with that person in the future, and calling a hiring manager stupid does nothing to advance your career forward. If you don't get the position, you may be hurt and disappointed, and those are natural emotions that result from the feeling of being rejected, but in the end, only one candidate can be hired for the position. The key is to handle the situation professionally and with grace. When you handle the situation correctly, then the recruiter will want to work with you again when other opportunities come along in the future. The correct behavior is very important in these types of situations.
Wow. As you've mentioned before, you know, you have so much experience, you know, being a recruiter for more than 20 years. These stories are just amazing to me. And you've seen, you know, I guess candidates who've handled things the right way. You've seen candidates who've handled things the wrong way. And, you know, I love the fact that everything that we've been discussing today is really based on years of firsthand experience.
It is, and that's why I wanted to talk about these things today. I want to arm job seekers and candidates with the kind of information that they need to be successful and maximize their careers.
Well, Stacy, thank you as always for sharing this wonderful information with us today.
Thank you, Sharita. I look forward to our next podcast.